Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, a complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak about the things we've been doing in terms of Israel, the latest videos and the latest subjects that are important for our movement in Israel. And then I want to speak about the latest situation involving Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and the race for the nomination for president in 2016. But first, in Israel, Ehud Barak, who was the defense minister of Israel in the Netanyahu government, recently revealed that Israel was about to attack Iran's nuclear bomb-making program on at least three different occasions, in 2009 and 2012. Israel was about to attack, that Netanyahu and Barak, the defense minister, had decided to finally save the Jewish people from the prospect of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid, and strike at Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, despite the fact that Barack Hussein Obama is against any Israeli attack, and there was a lot of pressure not to attack. But Netanyahu and Barak recognized that when Israel's facing the prospect of a nuclear holocaust, they have to ignore Obama's pressure and they have to strike. And so Netanyahu and Barak decided to do it, and they go to Israeli cabinet ministers and people that were in their government and people who were part of the Israeli coalition, which was the first mistake, by the way. Netanyahu should not have bothered with that. He should have had a close circle of people who are really loyal to him and will do whatever he says, and make the strike, and then announce it to everybody else, and then go on television, explain it, everything else, once it's already done, and they destroyed the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program. That's what he should have done. He should have done it quickly, without consultations, and begging people for support, and all the other nonsense that a weak, cowardly leader like Netanyahu always engages in. In any event, Ehud Barak reveals that in the end, because Netanyahu begged these other members of his Israeli government coalition for support in advance, which again, he should never have bothered with this. He should have just ordered the strike and that's it. But he went begging these evil people for support. And Barak reveals who opposed striking Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. And we did a video in Hebrew, exposing this, explaining what Barak reveals. And it's a very important video because it's important that the people of Israel know who is betraying them. The people of Israel should know who is leading the Jewish people to mass extermination, God forbid, to the prospect of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid, to the prospect of Iran with hundreds of nuclear bombs, God forbid. Who is leading the Jewish people to this new holocaust? The people of Israel should certainly know. Because only if they wake up do we have a chance of stopping this. So we, of course, were the only ones that did a video really exposing and explaining what Barak mentions. Barak exposes all this. This was in the news in Israel. It was all in the news in Israel. But we did the commentary, really blasting away at the traitor leaders that opposed the strike on Iran. And who were those leaders? First of all, the current defense minister of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, who is an evil, treacherous, cowardly piece of subhuman filth. This evil pig, this evil traitor pig, Judenrat pig, who throws Jews out of their homes, who has expelled hundreds of Jews from their homes, with, of course, the support of Netanyahu. But he has pushed aggressively to kick all the Jews out of Judea and Samaria, as many as he can throw out, who together with Netanyahu has frozen all Jewish building, has helped the Arab terrorists in the land of Israel, worked with Netanyahu to release thousands of Arab terrorist mass murderers, has transferred huge amounts of money and all types of assistance to the Arabs in Judea and Samaria to help them establish an independent state in Israel's biblical homeland. I mean, Yaalon is the lowest of the low. Of course, Netanyahu, again, has been part of all these policies as well. But Yaalon has enthusiastically, aggressively, zealously been pushing these left-wing policies of suicide. Yaalon recently, of course, has been throwing Jews who committed no crime in prison, including Rabbi Kahana's grandson, Meir Ettinger. Good, wonderful Jewish heroes are being thrown in prison just because of their political opinions. Meir Ettinger was just given 6 months in prison under what's called administrative detention, even though he committed no crime, solely because of his political opinions. This is something that Moshe Yalon, with the approval of Netanyahu, but Moshe Yalon ordered this, and he's thrown several Jewish heroes in prison under these administrative detention conditions. In other words, you have no right to a judge, no right to a trial, no right to anything. This is Moshe Yalon, a complete traitor. And he is looked upon by the media and by the establishment as a future prime minister of Israel, God forbid. What a catastrophe he would be. What a catastrophe. He would be even worse than Netanyahu, and that's very bad. He opposed striking Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, even though he has publicly said that this is a program that endangers Israel's very survival, that can lead to a nuclear holocaust. And yet, he opposed taking military action, just ordering airstrikes to destroy the program. I mean, what a lowlife. And he has said that Israel militarily is capable of doing it, but he opposed doing it. So that's one traitor. And then Yuval Steinitz, who is another member of the Netanyahu regime, another senior cabinet minister, a leading Likud figure, one of the leading political figures in Israeli politics, who was made an important figure in the Likud by Netanyahu and by the Likud party. Yuval Steinitz was opposed to striking and destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, another cowardly piece of filth. We got to remember, by the way, Yuval Steinitz started out his career in politics as a member of Shalom Achshav, as a member of the radical left-wing traitor organization Peace Now that completely supports Israel's Arab terrorist enemies. Whatever Israel's Arab terrorist enemies propose, Peace Now automatically supports it. Peace Now is against Israel having any presence in Jerusalem, wants to surrender Jerusalem, wants to surrender Judea and Samaria, wants Israel to go back to the pre-1967 suicidal borders. Even within the pre-67 suicidal borders, they don't want a Jewish state. They want a democratic state of all citizens, complete traitors that literally work for the destruction of Israel. Yuval Steinitz was a member of Peace Now, was active in Peace Now. And then he decided he'll join the Likud. This is the type of subhuman filth that you have running Israel and in the Likud. And they're called the right wing. This is called the right wing. You see why JTF is so important? Who else is going to tell this truth to the people of Israel? No one. No one is telling them what we're exposing here. No one. And then Eli Yishai was against striking Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Eli Yishai was the head of the evil, pseudo-religious, corrupt Shas party. Eli Yishai also supported the Oslo agreements. Eli Yishai is a longtime leftist. But in the past election, Eli Yishai left Shas and formed his own party and pretended that he was a right-winger, that he was a right-wing alternative. And he ran with Baruch Marzel. Baruch Marzel was running with him. Baruch Marzel claims to be a Kahanist and did work with Rabbi Kahana for a time. And runs as a so-called Kahanist. That's who Baruch Marzel was running with, Eli Yishai, the supporter of the Oslo agreements, the corrupt Shas leader, who opposed saving Israel from an Iranian nuclear holocaust. So even the so-called Kahanists in Israel, of course we're the real Kahanists, but even the so-called Kahanists in Israel, they work with all of these sellouts, all of these traitors. Look at this. Look at the situation we face. And so we did a video exposing this. We're the only ones telling the truth. The only ones. And everything we exposed is all in, it's all in the Israeli news, but we're the only ones that put it all together and explain it all in a coherent way that should make sense to anyone who in any Jew who in any way has even a minimal desire to survive. So that's one very important video we did. And again, those of you who are active in JTF, all of our great JTFers, you should know you're part of the only movement that's telling this truth. It's sad that we're the only movement telling the truth, but you see how important we are. Because if we weren't there, no one would tell the truth about this. No one. There'd not be one, there would not be one voice of truth. And that would be even worse. We then did a second video. You know, Arab terrorists in the Israeli prison system have learned a new trick. They go on hunger strikes. And after they go on hunger strikes, they release. An Arab terrorist just this past week was released by the Israeli government. The Israeli Supreme Court released him because he went on a hunger strike. They don't release Jews who go on hunger strikes. They don't release Jews. Jews they throw in prison just for their political beliefs. Arab terrorist murderers who go on hunger strikes are released. First of all, they rush them to the hospital. They want to make sure that they get the best health care. They do more for the Arab terrorists than they do for Jewish patients in Israeli hospitals. And so we did a video on this saying there'll be no need for hunger strikes if we ever take power. If we ever take power, which is what a true Jewish government should do in Israel, all the Arab terrorists will be executed. All of them will be put to death. So there won't be any need for a hunger strike. So these are two very important videos we did. Our message is so important for the people of Israel. It is so important that someone tell the truth. What a shame. What a shame that we don't have the big resources to reach all the people of Israel with our message. If we reached all the people of Israel with our message, we would change Jewish history overnight. It would wake up a lot of Jews. It would change. There'd be a lot of resistance from the evil Jews still. But we would wake up enough Jews to create a movement that would change Jewish history. What a shame that we don't have the millions of dollars we need to make that happen. But you should know that we are reaching people of Israel with the truth. The people of Israel, with at least thousands of people, see our message. We wish it was millions, but at least thousands see our message. And that's also very important. And the more you help us, the more you promote the videos, the more you help us, and the more you help us financially, the more people we're going to reach, the stronger we get, the more people we reach. And I think you understand why this is so important. No one else tells the truth on these life and death issues, on these life and death issues that decide the destiny of the Jewish people and the destiny of the world, because the destiny of the world is decided by what happens in the Holy Land to God's people. And now, moving on to the United States. Donald Trump continues to dominate the race for president, for the Republican nomination, because the left-wing news media deliberately continues to promote him. When other candidates say or do something, it's ignored. When Donald Trump, whatever Donald Trump says, automatically he gets wall-to-wall, non-stop coverage in the media. They are promoting him day and night. He holds a town hall meeting. Other candidates have held hundreds of town halls, ignored by the news media. He holds a town hall meeting in New Hampshire, makes a rambling, incoherent speech. It's live. His town hall meetings are live on Fox News, on CNN, on MSNBC, on all the cable TV stations. Live. He holds a rally in Alabama. Again, gives a completely incoherent one-hour speech. He's an hour late for the rally. He leaves people waiting in the hot, humid Alabama weather. And then gives a speech for an hour that makes no sense. It's completely incoherent. And the media puts it all on live, praising him, extolling him. And Fox News, at least, is extolling him, praising him, and promoting him. And the so-called conservative media praising him and promoting him. Even though he's clearly not a conservative, he himself called himself very liberal for years. He's always said he's very liberal. And people support him anyway, Republicans support him anyway. They don't care that he's very liberal. They don't care that he supports socialist health care. They don't care that he says he's going to honor Barack Hussein Obama's Iran agreement. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about the details. Don't show me the details. Don't bother me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. And so this is the situation where the Republican nominating process has been hijacked by one candidate thanks to the news media, thanks to the left-wing news media. In the meantime, Ted Cruz holds a rally in Iowa for religious liberty against Christians who are being persecuted because they oppose gay marriage and the evil sodomite agenda. And in his rally, in Ted Cruz's rally, for 2 hours, they had guests, they had speaking, Ted Cruz spoke, he interviewed people. It was perfect. I mean, he is such a good speaker. He is so coherent. He is so brilliant. He is so exciting. By the way, Donald Trump, when he spoke at the Alabama rally, at the town hall in New Hampshire, was boring. He says the same thing over and over again. It makes no sense, and it's boring. Ted Cruz is such an exciting, captivating, motivating speaker. So we're going to be publicizing that with videos, of course. We're going to be publicizing what Ted Cruz did, and we're going to continue to try to push Ted Cruz's candidacy. It's not over. He still may catch on, and if he could win in Iowa, God willing, then he can catch on nationally. So we're going to be continuing to publicize it. You know, we did a video on this lesbian actress, Ellen Page, confronting him while he was trying to eat lunch at the Iowa State Fair. We showed him speaking. We just did a video on that. I mean, we're publicizing all the time. We're doing videos in our English language videos are basically trying to influence the presidential campaign. So we're doing videos on that, and we're trying to wake people up and make people realize they don't have to accept a multi-billionaire celebrity who goes around with the support of the left-wing media. Obviously, the left-wing media supports him. Look at the attention they're giving him. Look at the endless attention they're giving him. People don't have to settle for that insanity. They can have a coherent, great, qualified, truly courageous, and truly conservative candidate. Hopefully people will wake up in time. Hopefully Ted Cruz will become the alternative, because, you know, eventually there's going to be an alternative to Donald Trump. Eventually, voters are going to be looking for an alternative, the people that don't support Donald Trump, and a lot of Republicans do not support Donald Trump. Most Republicans don't support him. He has support from whatever his percentage, whether it's 25 or 30%, he has his supporters, but the majority of Republicans do not support him. So they're going to be looking for an alternative. We hope that that alternative will be Ted Cruz. We're trying to convince Republicans to go with Ted Cruz. And we're doing videos that I think are very good in order to do that. Now, Ted Cruz's events and activities are being publicized in the evangelical Christian community, which is a community of 70 or 80 million people. And they're about 50% of the voters in Iowa, for instance. And they're probably about 50% of the voters in the South Carolina primary. So in many states, the evangelicals are about half of the voters in the Republican primaries and the Republican caucuses. Ted Cruz's events are being publicized among evangelical Christians. We, though, are publicizing his events. We're the only really Jewish group pushing for him and publicizing his events. We're the only really Jewish group doing this. And so we're pushing him outside of the evangelical community. We're doing something very important. We're performing a very important task. We're giving him exposure among Orthodox Jews and pro-Israel Jews. They're not the majority of American Jews, but they're an important group. The Orthodox Jews and the pro-Israel Jews. We're making sure that as many of them as possible are aware of the fact that we have a friend named Ted Cruz who's running for president, and he promises at least that he would take care of the Iranian nuclear problem and would stop them from developing nuclear bombs, which is the main reason why we so strongly support him, because that's the number one issue facing America and Israel right now. And so, you know, we're trying to be a voice of truth, and we are a voice of truth in Hebrew and in English, in Israel and in America. We're not allowed to be silent. God puts you in this world with a purpose. You have a higher calling than just making money, supporting yourself, doing what you do for your own family, your own immediate surroundings, which is very important. It's important that you help your family. It's important that you help that you do things for yourself as well. That's all very important. But you have to care about the future of the world. You have to care about Israel and the Jewish people, and you have to care about the future of the world. And that's something that JTF gives you a chance to do something about. You know that what we're doing, sometimes it's popular, sometimes it's unpopular, but you know that what we're doing, at least, is fighting for the truth, standing for the truth, and waking people up, and not being silent, and that's very important. And you never know when we'll strike gold and really hit it big. You never know when JTF will finally strike gold and get the attention that it deserves and hit it really big. You never know when that might happen. But in the meantime, we are reaching thousands of people in America, thousands of people in Israel with our message, and that is important. That is important. We're creating the basis and the foundation for a movement of truth, and that's essential that we do that. And so, I think we're performing an essential task, and I think you would agree. The more you help us, the more you work with us and help us, the more people we can reach, the more people we can wake up, the better chance we have for making a difference before it's too late. It's really, really important that we work together as a team and work hard to reach as many people and to wake as many people up as possible. We need your prayers. We need you to promote our Hebrew and English videos. We need you, of course, to become active on our news page, the great news page that the great Shlomo is doing. And you know, I saw somebody on our forum say, well, the news page is just compiling articles. Well, first of all, it's compiling articles from hundreds of different sources that you won't see. You're not going to spend all day looking for articles and for facts and information that we bring you. You're going to learn a lot of stuff on our news page. Secondly, the person who made that statement is, I don't know what that person's motivation is, but whoever made that statement on our forum that is just compiling different articles, that's what Drudge, that's what Breitbart, that's what The Blaze, that's what all the conservative news sites do. All they do is compile articles. 90% of what you see on most of these conservative news sites that have millions of people, they have millions of people going to them, and 90% of what you see there are articles from different news sources. That's all you see there. So we're doing what they're doing. And they obviously are very successful. We don't have the money they have. That's the difference. They have billionaires backing them up. They literally have billionaires who are financing them. But we're doing what they're doing. And we're reaching thousands of people with our message. That's important, isn't it? Isn't it good that at least someone is doing what we're doing? So 90% of what you see on these sites are just compiling news articles from many different sources, which is what we do that also. But we also have our videos and we also have our commentary. So it's not all just articles from different sites. We also have all of our videos on the site, which is more than you have on most of these news sites. Most of these news sites, they don't give you videos. They don't give you any of that. So we're doing what all the conservative sites are doing, except we're bringing you a truth that I think we're bringing you a real truth that they're not bringing, because they go with what wherever the wind blows. We don't. Now they're all rah, rah, rah for Donald Trump because that brings them ratings. That's all they care about. We don't do that. We don't go for ratings. We'd like to have ratings, but that our main motivation is the truth and bringing you the truth. If you want to go with someone who's only interested in ratings, only interested in getting ahead, only interested in whatever their agenda is, then we're not the right group for you, because our motivation is telling the truth. Our motivation is waking people up and educating people. That's what we stand for. And if that's what you want, then you're in the right place, because that's what we're going to do. That's what we've always done, and that's what we're going to continue to do. And so help us. Financially, of course, that's our biggest downfall. That's, again, if we had real money, there's no question we'd become a mass movement overnight. The more money we have, the further we go. You saw last year when we had, before Facebook took our big page down, our Hebrew page, we had 27,000 in just 3 months. We had 27,000 Israeli Jews liking our face and becoming members of our Facebook page. 27,000 Israeli Jews in a country the size of Israel, a country of only 6 million Jews. 27,000 joined our Facebook page, our Hebrew Facebook page. Then Facebook took it down because the Israeli government, everybody got nervous. They said, oh my God, they're going to be, if this continues, they're going to have hundreds of thousands. They're going to become a mass movement. They're going to become unstoppable. They recognize that if we just can get to first base, if we just are given a real chance, we would be unstoppable. They recognize that. That's why the Likud people and the Israeli government, everybody all went to Facebook and complained and wanted our page taken down. But we proved something there. If we just have the money and the resources and we just get exposure, we can become big and big and important and change history. We've proven that over and over again. Rabbi Kahana proved that in his day as well. Now you may say, okay, that's true, but they keep knocking you down and pulling you down, so you're not going to become big. You never know. You never know when the day will come when we'll have an opportunity, we'll get big, and they won't be able to take us down. They finally won't be able to stop us. You never know when we'll have that chance. But in the meantime, even until we get to that point, at least on the way, there's a voice of truth, a voice of uncompromising reality, and we're waking people up. And that is very, very important. That is very, very important. Because again, we are not allowed to be silent. When injustice is done, when there's great danger facing Israel and the Jewish people and facing America, we are not allowed to be silent. So we need your help. As always, God bless the great JTFers who are helping us. We need your checks and money orders and cash donations sent to our post office box. Every donation makes a really big difference. And, of course, if you prefer to do it online using a credit card, we need that as well. And, you know, if you want to do it with a credit card, that's fine. For convenience sake, you just go to the donate button on our Hebrew main page. It's on our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. That's also fine. Remember, you know, this person who, again, came on our site, you know, it's amazing. He comes on to criticize the one group that's telling the truth. And us, he criticizes. What, he doesn't think there should be one group telling the truth? Yeah, you know, I mean, it annoyed me to see it. It annoyed me to see it coming on with that particular post that he put up there. Because, I mean, you know, just have some brains. I mean, the one group that's honestly telling the truth, we're knocking ourselves out and doing everything and devoting our lives to trying to save and wake up the Jewish people. And then he says, well, putting up the videos are free. Putting up the videos are free? They're not free. They're not free. We employ Shlomo. We have to employ Shlomo. We have to pay Shlomo because otherwise he would be starving. He'd be homeless. He left the job that paid him much more to come and work for us full time. So we have one employee. Plus we do have many other expenses. Okay, this is not free. We have other expenses. Now, aside from Shlomo, no one else gets a penny. No one else gets any money in the organization, but we have expenses. And we help people in Israel. We send money to people in Israel. Believe me, the Jews we're helping are great Jewish heroes. And we help people that no one else will help. And they're dependent on us. I don't know. I mean, I guess God could find other ways to support them and help them if we weren't around. God would probably find other ways to help them. But right now, we're helping them. We're their source. And that's a mitzvah. That's a wonderful, blessed deed. So the more help we get, the better it is for Israel, for the Jewish people, and for the world. We need your support, we need your help, and we need you to work with us to promote this as much as possible. Let's work together because it's a critical time. Okay, now we're going to move on to questions from our great JTFers. And we're going to start with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, thoughts on the following dead people, and then there are four dead people listed here. Jonathan Brandis. Well, Jonathan Brandis was an actor who was a huge success in his teens. When he was a teenager, he was a huge success. He was one of these so-called teen idols. And he committed suicide at the age of 27. He became an actor, producer, director. And then because he had some hard times with his films, he got depressed and killed himself at the age of 27. What a waste. What a tragedy. And then Corey Chaim, you know, which of course I'm saying Chaim with the Hebrew accent, Hebrew pronunciation, because that's his real name. Corey Chaim was a Canadian Jew born in Canada, with Israeli parents. He was a famous actor. He was also a teen idol. Unfortunately, because of the evils of Hollywood, the Hollywood animals, the Hollywood homosexual perverts, raped him when he was 14 years old. He was raped when he was 14 years old, and they drugged him. They gave him drugs and made him a drug addict when he was very young, so that they could make him compliant to their perverted sodomite desires. With a 14-year-old boy, these sick animals. And he became a drug addict. He became a very serious drug addict. He actually became addicted to prescription drugs. He would get huge amounts of prescription drugs, and he fought this drug addiction for many years. At the age of 38, finally, he died of pneumonia and prescription drug overdose, and it's just terrible. He died at the age of 38. Another tragedy. Robin Williams was a very successful actor and comedian. Of course, I think almost all of us know who Robin Williams was. And he committed suicide at the age of 63 with all his success. Can you imagine with his money and his success what he could have done? Imagine if he supported JTF and had joined JTF, what he could have done. Wow, if I had his money and his success, I could change the world. But, you know, people don't see this, don't understand. He just threw it all away and killed himself at the age of 63. And finally, Jerry Garcia. Wandering Samurai asks about Jerry Garcia. Jerry Garcia, for those of you who are my age, you would remember that he was a famous musician with the Grateful Dead. I don't know if you all know about the Grateful Dead, but those of you who are my age certainly do. Jerry Garcia became a heroin and cocaine addict, and he died of a heart attack at the age of 53. He had a terrible diet, he ate terrible food, and he was a heroin and cocaine addict. So, of course, at the age of 53, he died of a heart attack. He was in and out of rehab. Just another horrible story. That's the consequences of living an empty life. All of these people had success, had every reason to live, but they led empty lives and foolish lives, and in the end, look at the tragic ending. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of Obama leaking Hillary Clinton's emails so that it will make it easier for Joe Biden to run for president? Thanks. I don't know if that's happening. I'm not sure that's happening. I think that her emails, that she's being forced to give up those emails. The courts actually are ordering the State Department to release those emails. You know, you also might say that John Kerry, who's the Secretary of State, is releasing her emails because he really wants to run for president too. I don't know. I don't know if it's really that they're trying to sabotage her in the administration to help Biden or to help John Kerry. I don't know. I think she's in trouble right now. I do think she's in trouble. If the Republicans don't blow it, if they just nominate Ted Cruz and they don't blow it, I think we have a chance here. I think we have a chance at winning. But, you know, if the Republicans blow it and do crazy things, you never know what will happen. But I think she's being forced to release the emails. I think this is a scandal that seems to be growing because she repeatedly lied, and she did email top secret information, top secret classified information, and she endangered the security of the United States. If she were a Republican and she did this, she'd be in prison already. She'd be serving a very long prison term. It just shows the double standard we have in this country. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, give the Yimach Shmo to Nafrodi. Well, unquote. Well, you know, he's referring to Naftali Bennett. I don't know if I'm going to give him a Yimach Shmo right now. I think he's very evil. I'm going to say Shem Reshaim Yirkav, which means may the name of the wicked rot. That I am going to say about him, which is a curse. He deserves to be cursed because he said that the Jewish heroes who try to defend the Jewish people should be executed. He said he favors the death penalty against Jewish heroes who try to defend the Jewish people. And again, I'm not saying, I do not encourage people to do anything illegal. I'm against people doing illegal things now because I don't want to see good Jews go to prison. But Jews who willingly give their lives and make this big sacrifice to say they should get the death penalty, you know, that is the most obscene thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, just, but especially by someone like this subhuman scum like Naftali Bennett, who voted to release thousands of Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists. I mean, he's the scum of the earth. And I will say Shem Rashaim Yirkav, which means may the name of the wicked rot, which is a little bit of a lesser curse, but it's still a curse. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, how would each have performed against Obama in 2012 instead of Romney? Okay, these are possible Republican candidates: Santorum, Huntsman, Bachman, Paul, unquote. Rick Santorum, first of all, I don't think any of the four of them ever had a chance of defeating Romney or getting the Republican nomination. So I don't think it would have happened. Because Rick Santorum, he turned into a very flawed candidate. You know, I supported him against Romney because I would rather have him than Romney. But he really was a flawed candidate. First of all, he's also a phony in many ways and was a big spender and supported huge government programs and was not a good senator at all. So Rick Santorum is not a good leader, and he was a terrible, terrible politician. Terrible. I mean, he made such a huge issue about contraception because he's a religious Catholic. I mean, he was basically preaching against contraception, which is something that almost all Americans use. So of course he's going to be very unpopular. I mean, he ran a campaign that was crazy. It was just crazy. If you're going to run against contraception, you have zero chance of getting elected. Huntsman is a left-wing, another Mormon and a left-wing Republican, and he would have been a disastrous candidate in every respect. I like Michelle Bachman. I think she's a good person. I like her. I think she would be a good president. I think she would be a good president. But I don't think she would ever have any chance of actually getting the Republican nomination. If she got the nomination, would she defeat Obama? Probably not. Probably not. She's just not a person that I think could be sold to the American people, get a majority of the Americans to support her, even though, you know, I think she would have made a good president. And of course, Rand Paul would have been a disaster. I think he would have been a disaster as a candidate. I don't think he ever would have won the Republican nomination. He's showing what a terrible candidate he is now. And if he ever, by some miracle, got the Republican nomination, God forbid, you know, of course he would lose in November by a landslide. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, discuss why Colonel Ali North lost the 1994 Virginia Senate election to Senator Chuck Robb, despite 1994 being a GOP tidal wave, unquote. That's a very good point. 1994 was a huge landslide victory for the Republicans. They won a huge landslide victory because of Hillary Clinton's Hillary Care. She so mismanaged that and so scared the American people with the Hillary Care, with her socialist health care proposal, that in 1994 the Republicans easily captured control of both houses of Congress. It was a huge Republican landslide. But in Virginia, Ali North lost the election to a very flawed candidate. But he managed to lose the election. I think the reason is, again, he's a very weak candidate, a very controversial candidate, and he is not the type of candidate that people will support. He was a very, very poor and ineffective candidate. And there was controversy all around him. He's also an anti-Semite, by the way, who tried to blame Israel for the Iran-Contra affair. He was trying to blame Israel, even though he's the one who was pushing it. He was responsible for the Iran-Contra scandal, where he was sending weapons to Muslim terrorist Iran to get hostages released, and the Iranians then would seize more hostages, and he'd give them more weapons. They'd release a few hostages, and they seize more hostages. I mean, this was so insane, and this was something that Ali North was doing during the Reagan administration. It was called the Iran-Contra scandal. So he took a lot of heat for everything that he did, and, you know, he's a losing candidate, he's a loser. And it's amazing that they still take him seriously on Fox News. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, you said Germany should have been nuked after the war. What should have happened with its land after that? Should Germany have been liquidated off the map with France and other bordering countries annexing it? Unquote. I don't know. Whatever bad things could be done to that country after what they did to 6 million Jews, they deserve it. Whatever the worst possible things that could happen, they deserved. Obviously, none of that is ever gonna would ever have happened in the evil world that we live in. Obviously. Murdering millions of Jews, that the world gladly accepts and supports. But taking action against their murderers, that the world doesn't accept. But in terms of morals, in terms of what is morally right, Germany deserved to have done to them what they did to the Jews during the Holocaust. Binyamin now writes, too, discuss Whitney Houston's daughter in more detail. What are some of the evil things she did, unquote. Well, she was part of the same degenerate, decadent culture. Her name was Bobby Christina Brown, by the way, because of her father, Whitney Houston's so-called husband. Anyway, and then Binyamin writes, three, I think some of Whitney Houston's music was good and was not like rap noise, even though she stood for evil causes, unquote. I think her music was decadent. I think it's part of the decadent culture that is a part of the problems with society, and her daughter used to sing with her and perform with her, and is also part of that decadent Hollywood culture, that decadent culture, and that's why she wound up doing the same things her mother did and died the same way that her mother died in a bathtub. So, in my opinion, all of that, in my opinion, taking drugs is evil. In my opinion, being part of evil culture is evil. In my opinion, the fact that she was part, I don't care, even though she was her mother's daughter. In Judaism, if your mother's evil and does evil things, you can't defend, you're not allowed to defend that. You're not allowed to defend that. And so she, and I know people are going to say, well, what do you expect from a daughter? No, you're not allowed, even if it's a parent or a brother or sister, if they do something really evil, you're not supposed to defend it and participate in it and join with them and participate in it. You're not supposed to. Do you want to change if you have a spouse or if you have a parent or if you have a child that does something terrible? Do you want to try to change them? Of course you should want to try to change them, but you don't support, justify, and join with them in doing the evil. And she did. Thank you, Binyamin. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, Palin and the Tea Party push through many conservative candidates to GOP wins, only to lose general elections. Can a true conservative still win, unquote. PMN, it's not because they were conservative, and they weren't real conservatives, many of them anyway, has nothing to do with that. The reason they lost is because they were bad, stupid candidates, just like Sarah Palin is stupid. Sarah Palin's not intelligent enough to be president or vice president. That's why they lost. Would I rather have Sarah Palin in the White House than Obama or Hillary Clinton? Yes. But is she an intelligent candidate or an intelligent leader? No, she's not. I mean, she's not. And she pushed in Delaware, she pushed a candidate who was a witch, who called herself a witch. Now, if you're going to have nut jobs, if you're going to have kooks and nut jobs, and the candidate she pushed in Nevada, I forgot her name, was also a mental case. I mean, if you're going to have candidates who are nut jobs winning the Republican nomination, of course you're going to lose the election. And she pushed candidates who were nuts. You can't compare that to a serious conservative like Ted Cruz. Can a true conservative still win? It's still a good question. It's still a good question. I don't think that the example, though, of comparing it to these nuts that won in the case of in 2010... I don't think that that's a good comparison because they were nuts, so that's not a fair test. But I do think that the question of will America elect a true conservative like Ted Cruz, is America still willing to support a true conservative like Ted Cruz, that's something I don't know for sure. I'll be honest, I don't know for sure. I think he would be the most effective speaker, the best debater, and a very effective candidate, a very disciplined, effective candidate, very persuasive. Would that be enough to overcome the unbelievable opposition he's going to get from the media, from Hollywood, from the Democratic establishment, the Republican establishment? Will he be able to overcome that? I don't know. I think he might, but I don't know. Because America has changed, and because America now is 40% black and Hispanic and other minorities. So I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if he could win, but I think it's the only shot we have. I think it's the only shot we have to get a truly effective president. And by the way, if he can't win, I don't think another Republican could win either. You basically should ask, can a Republican win? You think Jeb Bush would win? Jeb Bush and Donald Trump and the other Republican candidates in my view would be even weaker than Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz would be a stronger candidate than them. That's my opinion. I think Ted Cruz is the strongest possible Republican candidate. The question is, can a Republican win at all after America became majority Democrat and voted in Barack Hussein Obama twice? Can any Republican win at all? That's the real question. Thank you, PMN. And we go now to DGR81, who writes, and I quote, Why do the rules of what we can say only apply to us? Others can say the worst things and they win elections, no problem, unquote. Because the news media decides what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. The evil traitors that control the news media, they're the ones that make those rules up. Whoever controls the news media controls the flow of information to the American people, and the American people accept that. Unfortunately, most Americans swallow whatever the media tells them. And most Americans are low information voters. Most Americans are not well informed. They're ignorant about the issues, and they're lazy, and they don't want to find out. And that's the problem we get. That's the problem we get. So that's why there's a double standard and there's hypocrisy, and it's all a farce. Ted Cruz hopefully would correct that. If Ted Cruz became president, hopefully we'd see a lot of correction, because he would fight against that. And if we became a mass movement, that would also be corrected. Thank you, DGR. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Your opinion of Julian Bond, that just passed away, that the media was worshiping," unquote. Julian Bond was an evil, black, racist, and Jew hater who was the head of the NAACP, an organization that is anti-Semitic and racist, an organization that supported Louis Farrakhan and went to Louis Farrakhan's Nazi rallies, and Julian Bond was part of that. Julian Bond supported all the racists, all the anti-Semites, Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Barack Hussein Obama. So he was evil. And he also was a big supporter of the sodomite marriage agenda and the whole sodomite agenda. Big supporter of that. So he was an evil person. He was an evil person, as the NAAC people all are, and as all the people in the so-called civil rights movement, which is anything but a civil rights movement, are. Remember, you can't make a civil right out of a moral wrong. And that's what Julian Bond's, that's the one sentence that sums up Julian Bond's evil life. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, vote for Trump or Jeb, which will bring down America fastest," unquote. I think they're both very, very problematic. I think Jeb Bush is worse. If, God forbid, I only had a choice between Trump or Jeb Bush, I would probably vote for Trump, but I think Trump is very problematic as well. I think Jeb Bush, though, is even worse. Dr. Dan now writes, "Two, anchor babies are babies. What are the fetuses at Planned Parenthood?" Unquote. A very good point. They're so worried about using the term anchor babies, but the babies that are murdered at Planned Parenthood don't bother them. This is part of the utter immorality, the evil of the left. Absolutely true. Dr. Dan now writes, "3, discuss New York City today," unquote. Well, New York City today is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. We have a communist mayor, Bill de Blasio, whose wife is a black lesbian, whose son has a Black Panther afro, whose daughter is a drug user, who supports the worst of the worst policies, of course. In New York City, we pay the highest taxes in America and get the worst services in the country. It's just a nightmare. The city is 70% non-white. and the 30% who are white are almost all nuts. It reminds me of what we used to say about Washington, D.C. 90% chocolate and 10% nuts. That's New York City, except New York City 70% chocolate and 10% nuts, and 30% nuts. It's an insane city, and a city that voted 81% for Barack Hussein Obama in the 2012 presidential election, voted 73% for the communist mayor Bill de Blasio in the election of 2013. It's a bad situation. Bad situation. And I would advise the Jews in New York City to leave the city and move to Israel. Make Aliyah. Thank you, Dr. Dan. We now go to Brittany, who writes, and I quote, "What year were laptops made?" Unquote. Laptop computers are basically portable computers. And you've had portable computers since the 1970s. But of course, we didn't have the internet in the 1970s. The internet came about in the 1990s. But the concept of having portable computers, that's been around since the 1970s. So this is not really a new concept. Of course, what you had then and what you have now has changed dramatically, and there have been enormous technological advances, but the concept has existed for many years. Thank you, Brittany. And we move on to Surgical Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Muslim migrants in Mediterranean threw Christians overboard," unquote. Yes, because Muslims hate all non-Muslims, and these people are hateful, racist beasts. Beasts! And their religion teaches them to hate anyone who's not a Muslim and to murder anyone who's not a Muslim. They're cruel and evil and vile. And that's what we're dealing with, and we had better wake up and understand that. Surgical Jew now writes, "Slovakia, Poland, Estonia say they will only accept Christian refugees. Please comment," unquote. Well, if that's true, I don't know if that's true. But if that is true, that would certainly be smart on their part not to be willing to accept Muslims. That would be smart on their part. But I'm not sure that that's true. Thank you, Surgical Jew. If it is true, again, you may be right. I haven't seen that. You may be right. And if it is true, from their standpoint, it's certainly wise. We go to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Every day Arabs and blacks slaughter each other in complete indifference. Why do their lives matter, quote unquote, if only the alleged killer has fair skin?" Okay, great question. And the answer is obvious, because all of this is just an attempt, again, to find a way to hate whites, blame whites for all of their problems. You know, the Arabs murder millions of other Arabs. But if one Arab is even stopped at a security post by an Israeli soldier, it's a national scandal. But Arabs have literally murdered millions of Arabs over the years. And that's not an issue. That's fine. And the same thing with blacks. I mean, we know that, you know, almost all blacks that are killed in this country are killed by their fellow blacks, almost all of them. There are rare cases where blacks attack police officers and the police, doing their job in self-defense, have to kill the black criminal. And that's almost always, by the way, what really happens. But the only time it matters is if they could attack and blame whitey, because they're racists. These groups that claim to be against racism are the world's biggest racists. The Arabs and the blacks have the worst type of hatred and envy, and it's a hatred that's created by envy, because they have inferiority complexes and they're burning with envy. Thank you, Hiram. And now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Should blacks be offended when liberals compare those against LGBT to racist, quote-unquote, who opposed the Civil Rights Act," unquote. I think they should be. I mean, I think that to compare all blacks to homosexual perverts and to people who define themselves by their sexual orientation, I do think that's very insulting. I think so. I really do think so. Smash Islam now writes, and I quote, Ellen Page confronted Ted Cruz on LGBT, unquote. Yes, and I mentioned in my opening and that we did a video on it. In fact, we did do a video on it. It's on our website. We did the video showing that on our website. Thank you, Smash Islam. We go now to Rashi, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, opinion please on Iran deal. U.S. will attack Israel if Israel strikes. Also help train Iran against sabotage, unquote. I think if Israel struck Iran now, that would not happen. But eventually, if Israel continues this cowardly policy of sitting back and doing nothing, eventually, of course, it's going to be too late. And Israel will not be able to attack anymore. Right now, Israel can still attack, and the United States is not going to attack Israel. Israel can strike still if they did it now. Unfortunately, we have leaders who don't have the guts to do it. But you're right that eventually it's going to get to the point because of this deal and because Iran is getting close to finishing building the nuclear bombs, it's going to get to the point where Israel won't be able to do militarily what still can be done to stop this agreement. So the window of opportunity is closing and closing fast, God forbid. Rashi now writes, Reagan was a scumbag, unquote. Well, you know, I saw it. You put a post up on the forum, and you know, I agree with you that what Reagan did at Bitburg was disgusting, where he visited a cemetery for Nazi war criminals, and it shows that he wasn't a sincere. He was not a friend of Israel. Was not pro-Israel and not pro-Jewish. That's for sure. But he also, during most of his presidency, did not pressure Israel. Not all of his presidency. There were times when he did pressure Israel. He pressured Israel not to kill Yasser Arafat. He pressured Israel to do various other things that were harmful to Israel. So he did put pressure on Israel at times. But most of his presidency, he decided not to pressure Israel, especially during the last 5 years of his presidency. Again, not because he was pro-Israel or a friend of the Jewish people. That had nothing to do with it. His administration are the ones that put Jonathan Pollard in prison for 30 years. You know, that prosecuted Jonathan Pollard and did many other unfair things. So there are many bad things he did, but at the same time, he was certainly a lesser of the evils. He was certainly better than the other presidents because he didn't spend his time obsessively pressuring Israel to commit suicide. He wasn't interested in that issue during most of his presidency. So I still think he was better than the other presidents in that respect. Ted Cruz, on the other hand, I think genuinely supports Israel. I think Ted Cruz would be the first president in American history, in modern American history, that genuinely supports Israel. The founding fathers, some of them supported Israel. But I'm talking about in modern history, when we have a Jewish state since 1948, we have not had any president that's genuinely pro-Israel. But I think Ted Cruz would be the first one. And so, God willing, we want to do everything we can to help him. Thank you, Rashi. And we go now to Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, last week you talked about strong Jews portrayed in movies. I think both Munich and Inglourious Bastards were examples of strong Jewish characters, unquote. Well, Munich is the only one. I'm not familiar with the second film that you mentioned, but the Munich I am familiar with, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised and amazed that you would say that that's an example of strong Jewish characters. I'm amazed. And other people have said that too, and it just absolutely astounds me. Munich is a film where they humanize the PLO murderers and turn them into nice people and good guys and decent human beings that they have discussions with. They humanize the PLO murderous terrorists. They make the Jews feel guilty for killing the PLO terrorists. The Jew in the end is depressed. The Jew from the Mossad who is doing these things, he feels depressed and guilty over what he did in the end and discouraged, which is what the left always does to try to defeat and demoralize the Jewish people. The movie is designed to demoralize Jews, to make Jews feel guilty, and to make Jews look at the PLO Nazi mass murderers as decent human beings. It is a terrible Jew-hating movie made by Jewish anti-Semites, by the worst self-hating scum. Steven Spielberg, who Steven Spielberg was behind that movie. And Steven Spielberg is the lowest self-hating Jew, raises millions of dollars for Barack Hussein Obama, raises millions of dollars for the Clintons, raises millions of dollars for groups that work to destroy Israel. He is the lowest scum of the earth. Steven Spielberg is intermarried, assimilated, self-hating in every way. The lowest of the low. And not just Steven Spielberg. What was the name of that other guy who was involved now? Now I'm getting a... what was his name? Oh, Tony Kushner. I just had a mental block for a minute. His name was Tony Kushner. He was also involved in putting out that movie, Munich. Tony Kushner, the lowest, most vile Jewish anti-Semite, who said that Israel should never have been created. It was a mistake to create a Jewish state. He's against the very existence of Israel. That he and Spielberg were the ones who created that evil movie, Munich. So I'm amazed that you say that there are strong Jewish characters there. It's incredible to me. I mean, you can't see through all of this? I'm surprised, Black Sabbath. I'm surprised. Thank you for your question. And we go now to Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, how do you prepare for and make it through fasts and then break them, unquote. Okay, good question. First of all, when there's a fast, you should have one big meal before the fast. You should eat a lot, and you're required halachically to do this. You should eat a lot before the fast. And you should force yourself to eat, even when you're full. Force yourself to keep eating, even if you get a stomach ache. I mean, try to push that food in and try. I mean, you don't want to throw up. You don't want to eat to the point where you throw up. But you can force yourself, and you can get pretty full. You know, you can get pretty full. And just make sure you're very full. Make sure you're very full and you really ate a lot. That's number one. Number two, don't eat salt or sugar or foods that cause you to be thirsty. You certainly don't drink sugary or sugary drinks or other drinks that make you thirsty. And don't eat salty or spicy. No salty or spicy foods or sweet foods. Nothing like that. That will make you thirsty. And thirst can be devastating in a fast. Thirst can be very hard. I don't know, because I fast very easily. For me, it's actually quite easy, but I know a lot of other people have a hard time. And these are just tips that can help people. And in addition to that, you shouldn't eat fruits or vegetables. Now, all year, this is the ultimate exception, because you know I eat fruits and vegetables every single day. I am a fruit and vegetable fanatic. I love fruits and vegetables. I think they're delicious. I think they're very healthy. They're wonderful. They have antioxidants. They are extremely, extremely healthy. And many studies have shown that people who eat fruits and vegetables live longer. It does reduce your chances. Let's put it this way. It reduces your chances of developing cancer, God forbid, of developing heart disease, God forbid. So fruits and vegetables are very, very good for you. Very, very good for you. Very beneficial. So I'm in favor of eating fruits and vegetables all year round, except before a fast. The meal before a fast, you have to eat solid food that will fill you up, not food that your body's going to get rid of very quickly. You want solid food that will fill you up, solid filling food that will fill you up before the fast. If you do all that, you eat a really big meal beforehand, nothing that'll make you thirsty, and solid food, you should be okay, God willing. You should be okay. And of course, you don't want to think about food the whole time you're fasting either. You could think about other things. And you should be thinking about other things. And one of the purposes of the fast is to put us on a higher spiritual level. Thank you, Maimonides. Imaknik writes, opinion on Bnei Elim. Oh, that is... Are they still around? What a joke that... I mean, just... There are a handful of people who came on our forum in 2007... In 2006, rather. They came on our forum and they threatened to go to the FBI. They said they're going to report us to the FBI and they're going to report us to law enforcement authorities and have us all arrested. And so they openly said that they're informers. They openly said that they work with the FBI and that they're informers. That's the type of traitors they are. And by the way, in the Jewish religion, informers that want to inform against their fellow Jews who are trying to help the Jewish people, there is no forgiveness for that. We curse them three times a day in our prayers. And so, you know, that's what, they're part of that curse. They're evil, ignorant, stupid people. And I don't know, do they still exist? They never, they were saying at the time they had 50,000 members. They're three or four people who are nuts. They're a joke. They're a joke. Thank you, Imachnik. And I want to thank everybody for another program that, of course, we very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.